Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Monday edition of Today's Issues on American Family Radio. The name of this show is called Today's Issues, and we're going to be here for the next hour and 25 minutes. Lots of stuff to talk about that's in the news. Joining me to be a part of this panel is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning to you, Tim.
Walker Wildman also is here today. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Walker, so are we doing our normal Facebook and YouTube video streaming?
That's right. The thing we do every weekday from 10 to 11:30 Central
is we
video stream on Facebook and YouTube, so you can watch the radio show there, and you can also catch the news articles on our Facebook page. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook.
And who wouldn't want to watch a radio show? That just sounds great to me. Watch a radio show on the internet. You can, but YouTube or Facebook, right?
That's right.
Okay. But we're down to one camera. This is an awkward silence. Right? I think we're down to one
was
camera.
Was that a question or a statement?
Well, that's a good point, Walker. No wonder you sat and looked at me like, am I supposed to respond to this? It was a question, sort of rhetorical, that you were supposed to say yes.
Yes. We are down to one camera, and the thing about it is folks wouldn't have even known had you not said it.
But I think if you watch the show for 20 minutes and there's no camera switch.
Matter of fact, I think all of our cameras are fixed now.
Yeah,
we didn't usually
switch from this view.
Yeah, I think everything's fixed now. So,
well, 2 minutes ago, one of them was broke. What happened?
We had someone come in and fix it.
We did, Brent.
Yeah, just at the last minute there.
Brent, how'd that happen? Just get your microphone there and tell our listeners, because I look like I don't know what I'm talking about, Brent.
We had a camera down.
Yeah.
Right before the show.
It went down. A camera's down.
Yes.
It
stopped working.
Gotcha.
So,
like an injury on a football field, except it's a camera.
Like Houston,
yes.
We have a problem.
Yes.
So I got our IT guys in here to look at it and fix it. And just right before the show started, we got it up and operating now.
The fact that they fixed it in 30 seconds, Brent. That's pretty impressive. But you think maybe that's a tire you should have been able to change?
Yes, okay. I'll start.
In the future?
Yes.
I mean, 30 seconds, he probably just hit a button.
So Brent's wearing three hats right now, and he's going to be wearing four tomorrow.
Yeah. Hey.
Now he's going to make camera repairs. Yeah. Hey, by the way, could you change the oil on my car too during the next break?
All right, folks, appreciate you joining us here and on American Family Radio. And Chris Woodward is sitting in for the missing in action, Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
Fred's out today, is he?
Well, he'll be in around lunchtime.
Yeah, is it something we said?
No, he's out getting your dry cleaning.
Okay.
But Brent's going to check into it.
Oh, yeah. All right, Chris, so everything, did we say everything that needed to be said before we dive in here to the news?
I think so. We're good. Go.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
All right, one of the big stories we are following for you guys today is something we just mentioned in the newscast. Many of our listeners heard. It's the top story right now at onenewsnow.com. It has to do with a bill in California known as Assembly Bill, or AB 2943. Now, critics say this bill bans counseling, conferences, and even resources advocating the historic Christian theology of gender and sexual orientation. The implications are staggering and spread far beyond merely regulating licensed therapists. Legal experts confirm that by targeting financial transactions, AB 2943 threatens religious nonprofits, churches, and pastors who provide paid resources to help people practice their faith. We've got a soundbite here from spokesman.
Okay,
Greg
hold on
Burt.
Just a second before you play that. Just to clarify, not that it needs a lot, what you just read. What we're talking about here is the California State Assembly in Sacramento, as opposed to the Senate. The Senate's already passed this, so they have an assembly, they have a Senate, and they have a governor. So the Senate has already passed this AB, what did you call it?
AB 2943.
Okay. What we're talking about, folks, is This is telling, basically this is going to tell Christian ministries, you cannot counsel someone who wants to come out of the gay lifestyle, the LGBT lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't do that. It's going to be illegal to talk about, counsel this person from the Bible or otherwise to leave the gay lifestyle. And I understand it's homosexual, but I think people know what I'm saying.
Right.
Did I get that accurate?
That is accurate. It's okay. So it's so broadly and openly worded that it could be interpreted in many ways.
Okay, and what are we about to hear?
We're about to hear a soundbite from a gentleman named Greg Burt. He works for California Family Council, and he talked with Janet Mefford.
Our own Janet Mefford,
saying California has gone rogue and redefined what they think free speech means. This is clip 7.
In their mind, free speech does not apply to speech that is sold or is involved a financial transaction. So more or less what they're saying is any type of a church activity that involves a speaker fee, a conference, a marriage retreat, paid counseling, resources that you would offer to people struggling to follow their faith, they have unwanted same-sex traction, and they ask for resources, college courses, all of this will be made illegal, liable to a lawsuit. And it's like as though California thinks they're just going on their own, and they're going to redefine what the Constitution means, and they don't care.
Now, Bert went on to say that it would be difficult for Christians to have conferences on gender and sexual orientation. I've got another clip here. This is clip 8.
Unless they give everything away for free, don't charge for anything. You can't charge a conference fee. You can't charge a resource fee. You can't. Yeah, it especially is going to affect all the parachurch organizations that specifically offer churches these services, and the churches pay to have them come in, right? Because that's the transaction. Now you're paying a speaker, and so that's, you know, attorneys have said this is going to be knocked down. But it's just going to be drug out in the court. I hope, on a positive note, that this just identifies two pastors and Christian leaders that they've got to get their congregations willing to speak up on these issues.
Yes.
We cannot be silent. This is what silence gets you.
So that's from Janet Mefford's show, I think.
Yes, it was Friday.
Yeah, and so this is when we say AB 2943. That means Assembly Bill.
Correct.
2943. This makes providing services. This is the reasoning of the legislature in California. Number one, nobody can change their orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, anybody who says you can is practicing fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And so number three would be, therefore, anyone who is claiming to be able to provide that can be charged under the law if there is payment.
If there is a payment.
And now there is some question. I've been reading different things about goods. The defenders of the law say it would not ban books that's talking about services, mm-hmm. counseling, so on and so forth. But critics of the bill say, well, the law is broad enough that books which claim that you can change your sexual orientation would be covered as fraudulent. And so critics also say, well, what about the Bible? The Bible says you can change. You can become 1 Corinthians 6. You know, some of you were homosexuals, and now you have become, mm-hmm. you've left that lifestyle, so to speak. Maybe the Bible will be banned. So when it comes to California, we don't know how far they'll be willing to take this, but hopefully this will wind up in court.
Is this
going
to pass in the state assembly?
Well, that's a good question. It actually passed the assembly back in May. It then went to the Senate. They made some very minor changes in terms of wording that Greg Burt and other critics say doesn't solve anything. So it's going to go back to the assembly today, where they could vote on it as early as today.
Yeah, the one thing here is I think some might say, well, you know, everybody still has free speech over there, as long as you're not, you know, practicing a business in relation to this topic. But I think they're only one step away from just saying, you know what, it's hate speech altogether. I mean, for someone to recommend that you can come out of the homosexual lifestyle, that you can be converted, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
That if anybody who says that, I think we're one step away from them just saying, you know what, anybody who recommends that, mm-hmm. whether you're getting paid for it or not, That's hate speech. That's illegal, and you can pay a a $500 fine or something like that. The only reason I think they haven't done that is because of the legal challenge that they'll face. It'd be a dead in the water, so to speak, if they were to do that.
Right.
What if you're counseled to be homosexual? What if you're,
fine. I'm not saying my opinion. Mm-hmm. In California, that's fine. You can do that.
Okay, so if you were to go into a counselor and you're saying, I feel like I'm having same-sex attraction, then the counselor said, good for you.
Right.
And you need to
accept it.
You need to accept that. So that kind of counseling is okay.
Right.
Even though it's doing exactly what the law forbids, which is counseling. The law is one way.
Well, yes. The law is saying sexual orientation cannot change.
Right.
So a counselor who tries to convince a straight person. Well, I
want to become homosexual.
Yeah. They would. I'm sure they would defend it by saying you really don't know that you are gay. I'm just telling you to accept what you are.
Yeah. This passes, the bottom line here is if this passes and is signed by Governor Brown in California, it very much threatens A, religious freedom, and B, free speech. I would be surprised if it's up, in the Ninth Circuit.
Yeah, that's true.
But I would be surprised if that's upheld because it's so broad that even for California standards, anyway.
Well, to Walker's point about steps, this first was a law, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, and feel free to correct me, but California's already passed a law calling it fraudulent if someone's under 18 and you counsel them that they can go from gay to straight. I think that this law would now apply it to anyone. You can't even tell an adult that you can change
correct.
Your orientation.
That's correct.
So here we have steps. We started with, you can't tell anyone under 18, that's abusive, blah, 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 blah. Now we're going to expand it. And so who knows where these nutcases in California are going to take this after this law passes, if it does.
Well, and legal organizations we've discussed this with, including Brad Dacus at Pacific Justice Institute, have told us they're ready to file a lawsuit if this becomes
it
law.
It needs to be filed.
And the thing with California, the way their government is structured, I'm not sure if it would matter in this particular case. I think it does. But more often than not, the governor of California doesn't actually have to sign a bill for it to become law. If it sits on the governor's desk for X amount of time.
Oh, he'll sign it.
It could still
governor
become
Brown,
law.
Governor Brown, Moonbeam, is that what they call him?
Yeah.
He'll sign it proudly because, this on top of, was it a couple of years ago when the state government of California went after the Christian schools?
Right.
Right.
They wanted some changes as far as homeschooling and Christian schools.
Well, they were
going to
take away their tax exempt status, I think, because if they spoke about homosexuality or something.
No, it has to do with staff, I think, and student housing in colleges, I think. That you could not, like John MacArthur's school. This is kind of what kind of turned him a little bit towards getting involved. It was illegal. They wanted to push the point that it was illegal even for Christian schools to say you can't teach in our school if you're homosexual. Mm-hmm. Okay, so because that goes against scripture, but that ran afoul of California's non-discrimination law. So can we, as a state, force Christian schools to hire homosexuals as teachers?
Yeah, if you can establish the premise in this case, this AB 2943. If you can establish the premise and make it law that speaking in a way where you encourage or basically grant legitimacy that folks can come out of the homosexual lifestyle, once you establish that premise, it's kind of like when they say, we'll give you a religious exemption. Well, they're establishing that we're already doing something wrong, but they're kind of, it's like Ed said, one step towards.
Well, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ brings all sinners away from sin, and that's the power of the gospel message, is that Jesus Christ can change your life, whether you're an alcoholic, whether you're a drug addict, or whether you're a adulterer, or whether you're a homosexual. So if you're going to get into the state saying regulating that message, that's dangerous.
Then there's no First Amendment protection for religion.
No. All right, you're listening to the radio. We'll follow that and see what happens out in the land of fruit and nuts, California. Isn't that what they call it?
I've heard that expression used.
Not everybody who's in California.
A lot of Christians in California.
Right, they're just fruits. They're not nuts.
That's fruit of the spirit.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm
right.
saying. Thank you for bailing me out. you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Walker and Chris Woodruff. Next story, Chris.
All right. Jury deliberations resume today in the trial of Paul Manafort. This is the former Trump campaign chairman, Paul
Manafort.
2 months
he served in that position.
Right. He is accused of bank and tax fraud. The interesting thing here is that deliberations began on Thursday, and many anti-Trumpers and never-Trumpers were thinking this was going to be an open and close kind of case. The jurors had questions about legal terms used in the case, even what does reasonable doubt mean, which kind of like, uh-oh, where are they going here? On Friday, they wanted to go home early. One guy said, I've got something to do.
I did too.
You're right.
A lot of us did.
One of the jurors.
Is there something wrong with that?
One of the jurors wanted to go home early because he had something to do, he said. That was how Ducey at Fox News explained it in his live report Friday evening. So they're back today, and this, of course, comes after the judge in the case ripped prosecutors for things they've said and done in the case. He even said that he has had some threats made against him and the jury. And, oh, by the way, CNN wants the names and addresses of the people on the jury, saying it's public information, they should be able to do it, we should be able to have the information. What do you guys think about all this? There's a lot to take in.
Well, you know, the Paul Manafort trial is sort of, it's a side issue to the whole Mueller investigation, Trump against President Trump, or trying to get President Trump, I guess, for colluding with the Russians to change the election where he beat Hillary Clinton. So it's like five steps removed from this, huh?
Right. Yeah, that's being
generous. It's not really like a side show. It's an off Broadway, is what it is. In a way, I feel sorry for Paul Manafort because, I mean, he got. Now, if he's done something illegal, then he'll have to pay the consequences. But he got caught up in a fishnet that was sent out over the Gulf of Mexico. You know, and so I just, you know, feel sorry for him in that respect because he's had his life ruined. What is he, 70 almost?
If he's not, he's in
that range. If he's done
range.
Something illegal, but this, he wouldn't have. Then he'll have to pay the consequences to this.
Now the judge, I think, has denied the requests of CNN for the information on the jurors, which is the sane thing to do. You cannot have the media publishing the names and addresses of people who are sitting on a jury.
Yeah.
Okay, for a case that is underway. I mean, I
think it's the very idea that CNN is wanting the names and addresses of the jurors is appalling.
Well, I think what they want to do is they want to say if Manafort gets off, and we talked about this in our story meeting, if Paul Manafort is found not guilty, CNN wants to say, okay, here are the jurors.
Right.
They're a bunch of pro-Trumpers.
Go after them. Yep. Go to their homes. Yeah.
Can you imagine in this day and age where people can't go to eat at a restaurant?
Right.
Yeah.
And people show up protesting and doing Lord knows what else.
Yeah, that's absolutely you cannot justify wanting the names and jurors released on one of the biggest political witch hunts in American history. We'll want to release the names and addresses of the 12 people on the jury. That's a horrible idea. But to Ed's point, the only reason they want to do this is because everybody knows that Paul Manafort's likely not going to be convicted of this because it's a sideshow, happened years ago, has nothing to do with the Mueller probe, and he's probably not going to be convicted. Otherwise, the jury would have wrapped things up on Friday and convicted him. And the media is going to go out, and they're going to say, look at all these pro-Trump jurists. Mm-hmm. Half of them have business deals in Russia. This is part of the Russia collusion. And
by the way, what in the world is President Trump's attorney, I'm talking about the White House lawyer, doing meeting with
Mueller over the weekend.
Well,
30 hours worth of meetings.
With the president's blessing, according to the president's tweet.
30 hours over the weekend or 30 hours total that he's met with him?
30 hours total.
I don't know the
answer. 30 hours over the weekend.
Three meetings totaling 30 hours.
Over the last how long?
Since the Mueller probe began. Over the last year.
A year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't know. I guess that's a good sign. He's cooperating with the special counsel, but...
Well, he still calls it a witch hunt.
President Trump claims that he wants full transparency, and that's why he's offering up his attorneys to go meet with Mueller.
What are they going to... What's a dream day for Robert Mueller, Ed? What is he living for the day when he can tell the world what?
Well, I don't know what's in his head or his heart. I think my perception is that he wants the president's head on the mantle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, or on the wall, you know, like a deer, like a trophy.
Okay,
I took down a president that all my friends think is illegitimate.
And because the president did what?
Well, whether he colluded with the Russians or tried to obstruct justice, you know, obstruction of justice might be, you know, his targeted, you know, accusation.
So he changed the election.
Well, either that or the wheels of justice are trying to turn in finding out whether there was collusion and the president tried to obstruct it.
Collusion is not a crime.
Obstruction of justice would be a crime.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. Obstruction of justice, you know, in what way?
But what's interesting is, first off, the president can't obstruct justice because he's a chief law enforcement officer in the country.
He can't collude.
He can obstruct justice. The question is, how far can the prosecution go?
Some would say he can't because he's a chief. There's nobody above him. He can order investigations. He can say, I think you should prosecute this guy.
Or stop investigating.
He can end investigations. I mean, so he has a lot of power when it comes to intervening in law enforcement. The President Trump does. But they're trying to catch him up in this, why did you fire Comey? Was it because you wanted him to end the Russia probe? Which is interesting because if they're on the whole obstruction of justice trail, then that means they don't have anything on collusion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another sideshow to your point.
And what does collusion mean? This is a never ending nothing.
The thing is a president to Walker's point, a president can obstruct justice. The question is then what can be done about it?
Like Richard Nixon did.
Right. Can he be prosecuted? Would he be prosecuted by his own Justice Department? And nobody really knows what can happen for that. But obstruction of justice can lead to impeachment. And collusion could lead to impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that becomes the issue. Well, collusion may not be breaking the law, but if it was proven that somehow candidate Trump worked with the Russians to intervene in the election to dampen voter turnout for Hillary Clinton so that he could become president, that could lead to impeachment even and conviction in the Senate, even on the part of Republicans,
I guess,
just because it would be politically so damaging.
Mm-hmm. Here's my point. When I say President Trump can't obstruct justice, what I mean there's only one form of justice that can be applied to the executive branch, and that is impeachment. If President Trump is bribing senators not to impeach him, that is obstructing justice. But as far as other investigations that are under him, he cannot be charged by anyone except for the Senate. So Robert Mueller has no authority to try President Trump on obstruction of justice.
Well, nobody knows that yet. It's never been done. So
I don't think we're going to know it. Yeah, I don't think we're going to know it till the next presidential election cycle. I think Robert Mueller will wrap this thing up in about 2 years from now.
The Ken Starr special counsel investigation lasted 4 years.
Wow. Right.
4 years. Just think about that, folks.
So
boy,
think,
what a
you know,
blast.
I think Robert Mueller could go on for another couple of years here because the president doesn't seem like he's going to stop him. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Lynn Ingram of Redeem Clean.
Even in the most mundane task, we can still glorify God. And that's what we want to do with this. With every load of clothes, people that were supporting AFA and AFR They are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, the last 2 years, we've just had tremendous response, early response to the announcement that we're going to Israel on a Holy Land tour. We're going March of this year. We go March of every year. Last year, we filled up like early fall, and I expect us to fill up early fall this year as well. So if you're interested in this March 14th through the 22nd tour, and you'll be going with primarily supporters of AFA and AFR, just get the brochure and check it out. You can call us today at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure. If you simply want to go online, all the information is there. It's at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want to go in March, we're filling up, and we're filling up fast, so check it out, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The cheerleaders at Dodge County High School in Georgia are raising money for an upcoming competition, selling T-shirts that say, "In Dodge County, we stand for the flag, kneel for the cross." Since most folks in Dodge County do that, nobody thought it would cause a controversy, but it did. A local school board member called the shirts politically divisive and offensive. You can see a picture at toddstarnes.com. School leaders decided to ban the cheerleaders from selling the shirts on school property. And that's when the owners of White Hat Auto got involved. They volunteered to sell the T-shirts at the used car dealership. Ever since, the phones have been ringing off the hook, orders coming in from as far away as Afghanistan. Folks, all I can say is this. If you are a school board member and you have a problem with patriotism and prayer, you probably don't need to be a school board member. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Walker and Chris Woodward is filling in for Fred Jackson today, and the eternal investigation of Donald Trump.
Remember that old movie, The Neverending Story?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah,
this is it.
This is it.
They made a part two of that, by the way.
Without puppets.
If we're, God blesses us to be here in 10 years, we're going to be going, and the Mueller investigation into former President Trump is ongoing today, and Robert Mueller has said, quote, "I'll find collusion before I die," end of quote.
You know, that's, I know we're laughing about this, but that's an interesting point, because what if President Trump loses in 2020 and there's this, now he's open to this investigation? I mean, I know that would be laughable, but.
We'll move on to our guest here in the next topic, but let me just say this. I've said it before. President Trump and his campaign, and again, I mean this in a non-critical way, they were too amateurish to have some kind of sophisticated collusion with the Russian government to defeat Hillary Clinton. It just didn't happen. President Trump was, you know, out there campaigning. He was surprised he won, despite the fact that he did win. That's what I've read. But he was surprised that he ended up winning. Kind of like the dog that caught the car.
You think he was telling his wife the whole time, don't worry about it?
That's what I read.
It's not going to happen. Just enjoy the ride.
Right. So I'm just telling you, again, I mean that in a non-critical way, but President Trump's campaign was not some kind of, Republican establishment, well-oiled machine like you might have had with Jeb Bush, where his was controlled chaos, and fly around the country and rally the troops and get the message out, a populist, and I'll tweet today because half the Republican Party doesn't even like me. So, I mean, there was no central command where everybody's controlling the message and everybody's working together and get Vlad on the phone so that we can make sure that we change the votes in Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Right. Got to get those machines where they change the votes in Michigan so we can take down Hillary Clinton. I'm just telling you, had anything of any real serious nature been done here, certainly illegal, the media would have found out about this a long time before Robert Mueller does.
Something would have leaked.
Something would have leaked that was a bombshell, because all the media hate President Trump around the world. So, I mean, they would have, and they would have found this out, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A long time ago, it would have been reported how President Trump acted illegally to defeat Hillary Clinton, colluding, if that's the word you want to use, or joining with Vladimir Putin and the Russians to impact the election. So I think it is. I think that never happened. It is a witch hunt. This is my opinion, and it's going on and on and on and on and on. And, we'll see where it leads. But I just think if there's anything substantive out there, it would have been found out by the liberal news media already. But beyond the Manafort trial and who else got nailed?
George Papadopoulos. I think they're wanting to put him in six months of prison for some sort of.
He was part of the campaign for
Manafort. I think Manafort's the only one to have actually gone before a jury,
It had nothing to do with anything related to President Trump.
Right.
So anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Lynn Ingram joins us. Our man in Abilene. Lynn joins us weekly. Lynn and Jim Duncan, another Texan, they created the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. We offer it now through afastore.net, afastore.net. And every purchase, a percentage of those proceeds comes back to help our ministry. So Lynn and Jim, they wanted to do this for us. They've already made their living after many decades in the laundry business. And Lynn joins us weekly to answer a question about laundry. How you doing, Lynn?
Good morning, Tim. I do have one thing to say. There must be a witch hunt on concerning why is our laundry detergent so thick.
You're right, and Robert Mueller is going to be calling you about that. Because we want to know how that's connected to the Russians.
Call your lawyer. Call your lawyer, Lynn.
Lawyer up. Laundry up and lawyer up.
Lather up.
Lather up. We could go on with L words to do that with, but we'll stop right there. Folks, go to afastore.net and check out the Redeem Clean laundry detergent that you can purchase. And
you're going to wash your clothes anyway.
You're going to wash them anyway. Why not buy the laundry detergent and help us out at the same time.
Laundry detergent and other products designed specifically for American Family Association and American Family Radio.
All right, the question is, why is your, this is a question from our somebody who's used the product, I guess, why is your, talking about your laundry, the Redeem Clean laundry detergent, so thick, Lynn?
Tim, in the case of liquid detergent, a lot of companies use fillers for lots of reasons, primarily to dilute down the active ingredient. Mm-hmm. And the main ingredient is water in a liquid detergent, and basically just dilutes it. And when we set out for this objective for Redeem Clean, plus AFA and AFR, one of our major objectives was to create a premium product that for this product would make it so strong that we would use less fillers or near no fillers, and there's more active in cleaning ingredients. And that's really what we wanted to do. We could easily cut it. It would be more profitable and things like that. But we wanted to make the best product out there we could find. And that's what we've done, Tim.
So you're saying a lot of laundry detergent companies, quote, water their product down?
I'm saying if you'll hold ours up and theirs up, you will see how thick our product is. And that's because we have more active ingredients
right.
and less water.
Yeah, Lance.
Matter of fact, if we didn't have to use water at all, we wouldn't. But we have to basically help it to break it down so it will dissolve quicker and be more effective. But that's exactly what it is, man.
Okay. Yeah, Lance, so the conclusion is that thickness, increased thickness in your detergent is a good thing, right?
It is because you have more active ingredients.
Right.
You have more active ingredients. If you have 2 ounces of detergent of ours and 2 ounces of somebody else, you will see, in most cases, how much thicker it is because there's more active ingredients and less filler material. That's right, Walker.
Go to afastore.net, folks. It's very simple. It's the first thing that pops up, I think. Mm-hmm. The Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, and try it. Check it out, and I think you're going to love it. Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. Go to afastore.net, afastore.net. One question I got for you, and one more question I got for you, Lynn. How do you create a laundry detergent? I mean,
well, Tim, we've been in the business for a long time. We have here. My dad started our business in 1950. Jim Duncan. Oh, by the way, it's his birthday today and his anniversary tomorrow. A shout out to Jim. But it's just like anything else you create. We have an industrial facility that we manufacture for here in Texas.
Yeah.
It's the same laundry detergent we use in our commercial environment.
Gotcha.
It's a little bit different. But we just manufacture it just like we do everything else.
Gotcha. Lynn Ingram joining us from Abilene, Texas. Thank you, Lynn. Have a good week, my friend.
Thanks, Tim. Y'all have a great week.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's Lynn Ingram joining us from Abilene. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Walker. And Chris Woodward is filling in for the esteemed Fred Jackson,
yes.
Who's out today. What's Fred? Is there?
He's taking the morning off.
Is there a non-personal reason why he's not here today?
I was not given that dossier. Explaining his reasoning.
So
I was voluntold for this segment, so I said yes, sir.
That's pretty good. Related to what we're talking about here today,
right?
You know.
Right.
Peter Strzok, what's he doing nowadays?
Still raising a lot of money on his GoFundMe account for his legal defense. You know, he started a GoFundMe account when he got fired.
Talking about the FBI agent who was sending out, who was investigating President Hillary Clinton and tried. Mm-hmm. He was one of the top officials at the FBI and was found out to be trying to, very anti-President mm-hmm. Trump and everything. So he finally got fired.
He did.
And so what, we don't know what he's...
I think he's raised over $300,000 on GoFundMe.
Why did he start a GoFundMe?
The only thing I can guess, just looking from the outside in, is mm-hmm. that he knows that he's going to need lawyers should he be sued or investigated, blah, 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 and he's going to use that money for his lawyers.
Yeah. Or if he sues the FBI for mm-hmm. improper firing.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen a... I don't know Peter Strzok, but on that testimony he gave before the when he was being questioned before the Congress the other mm-hmm. day, what, 3 weeks ago, whenever it was, remember when all those memes were made about
right,
his
right.
facial expressions?
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody act more like a jerk before a congressional committee.
Mm-hmm. Completely disrespected.
Mm. Well, what he didn't explain, He was caught red-handed with his own words in his own text. It was clear that he was vehemently opposed to President Trump and using things like stop him and bring him down and F this and then he's there appearing before the Congress going, I am completely a man of integrity, and I am completely unbiased. And I don't know where people get this from. I mean, it's raining outside, and Peter Strzok goes, "Isn't this a beautiful sunshiny day?" I mean, this is just It was like bizarro, and I don't think they had any choice but to fire the guy. He got moved from being at the top level of the FBI to down at the HR planning picnics. And then he's out of a job completely after his testimony before the Congress. And
the FBI was caught between a Strzok and a hard place.
Yeah, you've been working on that one, Andy, Chris.
And I butchered
Chris
it.
Chris been waiting to use. Anyway, enough Peter Strzok. What's the next story, Chris?
Well, the other big topic today, really, and this has been going on for several days, is the Trump administration's decision to remove the security clearance of former CIA Director John Brennan, who continued to lash out at the president over the weekend. Said some nice. He basically says the president is drunk on power. This is clip one.
This was nothing short of treasonous because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
I think Donald Trump has badly sullied the reputation of the office of the presidency. Just so reflective of somebody who, quite frankly, I don't want to use this term maybe, but he's drunk on power. He really is.
The Trump administration has basically said he was a not so nice guy and tried to ramrod his own ways.
Brennan? You're talking about Brennan?
Brennan, yes.
Former director of the CIA. By the way, in case you didn't know this about him, I don't know. I missed this somewhere along the way. I heard it on Sandy Rios' show last week. This fella that you just heard talking right there, Brennan, he voted for a communist for president in the 80s, I think he did. Huh?
I forget when it was, but that's
and admitted to it.
Right.
Height of the Cold War.
Google that. Walker, if you don't mind, Google Brennan voting for a communist. I'm just saying, if a guy ever voted for a communist, he should not be the director of the FBI. I don't care if he voted for him when he was six. Of course, that would have been another story because you're not supposed to be able to vote till you're 18, I think. But you get the point, Ed, here?
Right. So. No, and this is one of the tweets that President Trump has issued, I guess you issue tweets. But of course, the complaint is, and what CNN is saying and others are saying is 175, you know, bigwigs in the intelligence agencies and stuff like that have criticized what Trump did and so in firing John Brennan. And Trump says...
We didn't fire him, did he?
I mean, removed his security clearance, I'm sorry. He says, everyone wants to keep their security clearance. It's worth great prestige and big dollars, even board seats. And that is why certain people are coming forward to protect Brennan. It certainly isn't because of the good job he did. He is a political hack. Well, of course, President Trump gets the insult in there at the end of the tweet. But his point at the beginning is certainly a good one. That this is when you're out of the official capacity in the intelligence community in the U.S., you have that security clearance. Mm-hmm. People hire you to say, hey, what's going on? For example, we're thinking of opening up a business in Iraq. Can you find out for us what the situation is like on the ground? We'll pay you $500,000 for that. John Brennan goes. He has a security clearance. He gets briefed. He comes back to the company and he says, yes, you can. Here's what you need to look out for.
Yeah.
That's why President Trump is accurately saying this is big money once you leave the CIA.
You know who else does that? Newspapers that want information.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't talk here. Let's meet at the park bench over by the Capitol building.
Right.
Just like you see on television and movies. There's a reason that stuff gets depicted in movies and television shows, because the people writing them know that's what goes on.
Right.
Walker, what did your investigation find?
This is according to pjmedia.com. Their article says that John Brennan in 1980, at an annual conference for the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation years ago, John Brennan said that in 1980, I voted for a Communist Party candidate.
Okay, well, there you go. 1980, John Brennan admits that he votes for a communist for president of the United States.
Like Chris said, at the height of the Cold War.
Yeah, and then he later became President Obama's choice to lead the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So There you go.
He was director from 2013 to 2017.
And he's the one accusing President Trump of being treasonous.
Right. Flash forward to 2016, and half the Democratic Party wanted to nominate a socialist to be their presidential candidate. Bernie Sanders, by the way, I believe, honeymooned in Moscow. Look that up. I'm Googling it now.
Oh, me.
Wow.
As they say, to borrow from Dave Barry, I'm not making this stuff up.
I am not making the all caps.
All caps. Yeah. I am not making this up. Hey, what about this Me Too leader, this actress? Everybody knows what the Me Too movement is, right?
It's, hashtag Me Too, yep.
It's having to do with sexual exploitation or abuse of women, right? And a lot of it
started off with the Harvey Weinstein accusations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then kind of flourished.
Well, anyway, one of the actresses who started the Me Too movement, Me Too, hashtag Me Too, meaning I have also been sexually abused.
Well, right? she claims to have been raped
by Harvey Weinstein.
By Harvey Weinstein. And
okay. Well, anyway, in a bizarre turn of events, it's being reported that she...
Asia Argento, right?
She's the one married to Anthony
Bourdain.
I don't know if they were married or not. But
no, they Bourdain. Just dated.
Okay, so anyway, but she now has admitted to paying off in the hundreds of thousands of dollars a man to keep quiet about her sexually abusing him. Is that true?
Yeah. That's
only in Hollywood or New York.
Yeah. There have been some cases in recent weeks. This is the newest one, probably the biggest one. But there has been a movement. You know, there's the Me Too. Now there's a Church Too. And there's also something called He Too, in which men are claiming they were victimized by women. And this particular actor claims that he was victimized by
How is a man, excuse me, I'm just going to talk out loud here. Okay, I may be shot down. How is a man sexually abused by a 22-year-old
Well, she actress. Was 37 at the time. This is according to a New York Times report. She was 37 at the time.
Okay.
Jimmy Bennett was a child actor who was 17. He would just turn 17.
Okay.
The age of consent in California is 18.
Gotcha. Okay.
So
the minor we're talking about.
Yes.
He's saying she initiated a sexual relationship.
Assaulted him, he's saying.
Okay, assaulted him and... So, okay.
And then
so
he paid was seven. Him, and then paid him
Well, it'd be wrong for assaulting anybody. I don't mean to make, I'm not trying to make light of this, but it's kind of like when these, I hear men raped by women, I go, how does that happen exactly?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's not as common.
Yeah.
Well, the assumption is that men are stronger than women, therefore... It's
you should be able to resist.
It's reasonable that a man could overpower a woman against her consent, but not the reverse.
Yeah.
But
the irony is here, there's probably another word here. This woman who started the Me Too movement sexually abused somebody. Am I got that right?
According to the New York
Times.
And
paid money to keep it quiet, right?
According to the New York Times.
Anyway, according to the New York Times, which is absolutely, you can count on them.
Well, if it's false... We're blaming the New York Times.
But this is liberals fighting liberals.
Well, it's...
Which is fun to watch. I got to tell you. Huh?
I'll go grab some popcorn.
Yeah.
And of course, we're not saying the issue of assault is very serious.
Correct.
But to your point, Tim, here we have all these people who are making men always the bad guys. And in Harvey Weinstein's case and some of these others, these guys are bad guys. They abuse their power, forcing women to, you know, so on and so forth. We want to go into great detail here. But then all of a sudden, the accusers now are being accused. So to the point that Christianity makes, we're all sinners, and you ought to be very careful about saying that all men are privileged or are criminals or are rapists because evil can be committed by anybody. So,
yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
All right. ESPN, the president of the network, says his network, ESPN, will not be airing the national anthem on Monday night football games. This, of course, comes amid the whole continuing situation involving the kneeling, the protest, and things like that. But get this, guys. The president of ESPN, his name is Jimmy Pitaro, said in his announcement about this, "We generally have not broadcasted the anthem, and I don't think there's going to be any change this year. Our plan going into this year is to not broadcast the anthem." Are they politicizing a situation in which they weren't even involved with to begin with? Do you think they're trying to attract the people that want to kneel?
Well, I'm not sure what side they're trying to fall on here, because if they don't traditionally air the national anthem, what does it benefit the company to reiterate your policy, which everybody knows is already in place?
Well, let me give you one possibility. That is, viewership has been declining. Okay, mm-hmm. Attendance has somewhat, but viewership has been declining. ESPN has had a real problem with its image with, I think, conservatives, because they have made there's been a lot of political commentary mm-hmm. on some of their shows. Maybe what they're trying to do is get some people, some viewers back by saying, listen, we are not going to show players kneeling during the national anthem. That's just a thought.
I'm going to be really surprised if there's a lot of kneeling during the national anthem this season in the NFL. again, I don't want people to misunderstand. I'm vehemently opposed to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the number of players in the NFL that knelt last year mm-hmm. was a tiny percentage.
Right.
Of the actual number of NFL players, but they got all the attention, okay? Right. And it did hurt the image of the NFL, and it hurt them monetarily to about a 10% loss in revenue and viewership. It wasn't a total collapse, mm-hmm. But it did hurt them. And had they, in my opinion, if they go on making this a big deal, that is the kneelers, this year, it's going to hurt them even more. And I think a lot of the owners realized this, and they got together, and they initially had this policy
yeah.
that you couldn't kneel during the national anthem. You could, stay in the locker room, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
If you don't want to go out for the – otherwise, you got to stand
right
for the national anthem. Because why? Because this is our business. We don't want to offend our customers.
Right.
And we want to put out – so this is the solution. Either you stay in the locker room or you stand. Dak Prescott, the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, said something else about this that hasn't been uttered much, and that is, he said it's – basically, I'm paraphrasing. He said it's an inappropriate place to make a protest, that is, at a football game that people have paid to come and enjoy themselves. That was his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably spoke for a lot of players
mm-hmm.
who didn't feel like they could speak up because they would be slammed by the media and some of their other fellow players and told they don't care about the plight of social justice in America. But Dak Prescott, you know, himself an African American, mm-hmm. said, "I do care about social justice issues that we have in this country. I just don't think it's an appropriate place for us to protest and offend people, and we need to. I will stand for the national anthem."
Yeah.
Of course, his boss Jerry Jones, who writes his paycheck, said all my players will stand, too.
Now the NFL's backed off its policy, hasn't it?
Yeah. They have.
Yeah. But Dak Prescott said
I
would have stood anyway. I think he has military in his family background. I'm not completely sure about that. But the point is, I think you're going to see a tiny, tiny percentage of players protesting in the national anthem this year because it has financially hurt their business
mm-hmm.
of the National Football League. All right, Chris Woodward, thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. We shall return in 5 minutes with more of today's issues. We've got another half hour of programming to do here, and we'll see you back here in just a few.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.